Okay, this is the place where I say, as usual anyway, turn with me, if you will, to chapter 16 now of the book of Bamidbar in the wilderness, or Numbers, because at least for the first bunch of chapters, we had a bunch of numbers. In any case, at this point, we're talking about more of the story, and this is a particularly famous story, one of the most infamous, I guess you'd have to say, rebellions in history. And the way the portion starts is to say, and now there was this fellow, or it just really says now, Korach, and that's actually the name in Hebrew, ends with a chet. Korach, son of Itzar, son of Kohath, son of Levi. So he's a cousin, basically, of Moshe. Along with two other folks, Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab and On, sons of Peleph, sons of Reuben. So we got a couple of descendants of the firstborn who may feel a little put out. Dathan and Abiram, sons of Reuben, all of whom rose up in the face of Moshe, along with certain of the children of Israel. 250 men. They were called princes of the congregation, elect men of assembly, men of renown. So these were basically high-ranking, well-thought-of dudes who assembled themselves together against Moshe and against Aaron, and they said the following. Now, as we go through here, there's all kinds of interesting terminology, and it's kind of fascinating to see how things play out in terms of, you will recognize that they're kind of throwing phrases that we've heard before back at one another, and it's an indication of the level of disrespect and of literally the rebellion that's going on. So at this point, they say to Moshe and Aaron, y'all take too much upon yourselves, seeing all of the congregation, Kol Edah, are set apart, every one of them, and Yahuwah is among them. And wherefore then are you lifting yourselves up above the assembly of Yahuwah? Now it says, when Moshe heard this, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah, and he said the following, in the morning Yahuwah will show you exactly who are his, who is set apart, and will cause him to come near unto him, even whom he may choose. That's the person that he will cause to come near unto him. So basically, you'll see is how this is going to play out. And here's what you're going to do, he says. Take your censers, Korah, all his company, put some fire in it, put incense upon them before Yahuwah tomorrow, and it will be that the man whom Yahuwah chooses, that is the one that'll be set apart, holy. You take too much upon yourselves. See, here it is. You sons of Levi. And then at this point, Moshe speaks to Korah directly, Korach. It's Korah in the English, but Korach in the Hebrew. Hear now, you sons of Levi or Levi, is it really such a small thing to you that the Elohim of Israel has separated you from out of the entire congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, before Yahuwah, to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Basically, he's saying, look, guys, you know, it's not like you haven't got a pretty darn good job. You have been chosen from among the entire congregation of Israel to do this special service in the Mishkan. He's brought you near, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. Now, do you want the priesthood too? You want to be Kohanim too? The answer seems to be, yeah, that's exactly what they want. But in any case, he says, therefore, you and all your company that are gathered together against Yahuwah. Oh, and furthermore, he says, when it comes to Aaron, what is he that you would murmur against him? So Moshe isn't done. At this point, he calls to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and they said, no, we're not going to come up. They're basically dissing him from top to bottom. And they ask the question. Now listen to this. This is a little bit more, well, we would just say disrespect in the modern parlance, pure and simple. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey? Okay, now here's the key, right? They are being taken too. A land flowing with milk and honey. At least they would have been, but they've been already having, you know, participated in the Democratic vote that they appeared to win but really lost. They know their carcasses now are going to fall in the wilderness. They're not going to go into the land flowing with milk and honey. So what are they saying? Oh, well, this is what we had there in that wonderful land of slavery in Mitzrayim, Egypt. We had a land flowing with milk and honey. Here you plan to kill us in the wilderness. We've heard that before. But you need to make yourself a prince over us too. Moreover, they weren't done. You haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey. And I guess my reaction would be, yeah. And guess whose fault that is? Nor have you given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We won't come up. Now, put out the eyes of these men is a Hebrew idiom. Basically, you're going to keep pulling the wool over our eyes. There's a way we might put it in the modern sense. In other words, we can see what's going on here. Yeah, we're not going to come up. Well, Moshe was pretty upset. Very wroth is how it's translated from the Hebrew and the English I'm looking at. And he says to Yahuwah, please do not respect their offering. I haven't taken so much as one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And then Moshe again speaks to Korah, and he says, you and all of your congregation, be there tomorrow before Yahuwah, you and they, and also before Aaron. And get your fire pan, every man, put incense upon him, and bring before Yahuwah, every man, that fire pan, 250 of them, 250 fire pans, you also, Aaron, everybody with their fire pan. So each man did as they were bid. They put fire in them. They laid incense thereon. They stood at the door of the tent of meeting in the morning with Moshe and Aaron. And Korach assembled Kol Edah, all of the congregation against them, in the door of the tent of meeting. And the glory of Yahuwah appeared before everybody. All of them saw him. And Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe and unto Aaron. And he said the following. There's an old joke I remember the punchline to. And they all moved away from him on the bench. Right? In this case, it's separate yourselves. Back off. Because what I'm fixing to do, you don't want me standing too close to. Separate yourselves from among this congregation so that I can consume them in a moment. Now, at this point, Moshe and Aaron do something which is characteristic for them, honestly not for the most of the rest of us. They fell on their faces. And they said, O Elohim, Elohim of all the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, referring to Korah, and will you be wroth with all of the congregation? And essentially, there's a little bit of a Rashiism that goes with his commentary, and I think this is kind of an interesting observation. Look, he says, the one man sins. Korah, we're talking about. No doubt about it. Look, he is clearly guilty here, and they have no doubt, according to the implication, that he will be punished. But do the rest of these folks, all of them, you gonna whack them all? And the response comes from Yahuwah, who told Moshe, speak unto the congregation and say the following, get up! Get all of you up from around about the dwellings of Korah and of Dathan and of Abiram. And the dwelling here is an interesting word. It's actually the Mishkan. Mishkan, around this or in, get away from those places where they're laying their heads. The three of them. So Moshe rose up and he went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. Now these were the guys that wouldn't come up to him, remember? He spoke unto the congregation. He said, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. So basically, come out from the area of this camp within a camp. And don't touch any of their stuff. Touch not the unclean thing is another verse that kind of springs to mind here. Don't touch anything of theirs, lest you be swept away along with them, with their sins. So they got up from the dwelling of Korah and Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out, and they stood at the door of their tents with their wives and their sons and their little ones. Whole families standing right there. Moshe said, here, this is how you will know that Yahuwah has sent me to do all these works, and that I have not done these things out of my own heart. Levi is the Hebrew word there. It's translated in the English as out of my own mind, but it really is out of my own heart. And he goes on and he says, look, if these men die the common death of all men, in other words, they get old and pass away in their beds or, you know, whatever, then don't worry about it. It's pretty clear Elohim has not sent me. But on the other hand, if Yahuwah does literally a new thing, and the ground opens up her mouth and swallows them all up and everything with them and everything that they have, and they all go down alive into the pit, well, then you shall know and understand that these men have, he's not going to say, dissed me. He says, no, they have despised or provoked, Hebrew root word there, Yahuwah. He is speaking for the Creator. Now, there's one other interesting comment. Here's another little bit of Rashi history. If you look at the words here, make a new thing, open up her mouth. It has happened once before. This is new, I guess, to the extent of the way that it's going to happen. But there is one other place where the earth has swallowed something. And, of course, it was, in this case, it opened its mouth and took in Abel's blood. And the blood, of course, cried out from the ground. I guess we're going to see some crying out from the ground here, too. Came to pass as he literally finished speaking these words, the ground, in fact, did then cleave asunder under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. Their households, their tents, their little ones, everything that these men had, the three of them and their families and households and all their goods. So they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up over them, and they perished from among the assembly. And all Israel that was anywhere close, I guess at this point they figured out what they, what the meaning of, you know, stand back and move away from those folks. They get it. They fled, and they said, lest the earth swallow us up too. Then fire came forth from Yahuwah, and it devoured those 250 men that offered the incense. And that was the end of, well, at least that part of the rebellion. But wait, there's more. Then Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, now, go speak to Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest. Take up those fire pans and scatter the fire out yonder. They have now become set apart. We're going to see that something is going to be done with those brazen fire pans from these 250 now dead men. Even the fire pans of these men that have sinned at the very cost of their lives, let them be beaten into plates for a covering of the altar, because they have become set apart. They were offered before Yahuwah. All of this will be, in fact, a sign, an oath, before and unto the children of Israel. So Eleazar the priest did as he was bidden. He took those brazen fire pans where the burnt offerings had been made, and they, the incense, burnt incense, and they beat them out for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the B'nai Israel, to the end that no common man, not of the seed of Aaron, right, these are sons of Levi, but not Kohanim, would draw near to burn incense before Yahuwah, so that they don't end up like Korah did, along with his company, as Yahuwah spoke unto him by the hand of Moshe. And on the morning, you'd think by now, here's where I pause. I'm shaking my head. You can't see it. But it's like, how many times do we have to see this? And I look at the world today and I think, you know, really, Solomon was right. Ain't nothing new under the sun. But how many times do we have to see this? These children of Israel, who you'd think by now would have at least learned a little something, what do? They whine. They complain, they murmur against Moshe and against Aaron. Now guess what they're telling him this time? You have killed the people of Yahuwah! I say, what? Weren't you paying attention? Don't you know who ended up killing themselves? No, you have killed the people of Yahuwah! And so it came to pass that when the congregation was assembled against Moshe and against Aaron, they looked towards the tent of meeting. Behold, there is the cloud covering it, and the glory of Yahuwah appeared. Moshe and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and they were spoken to. And here is what he said. And listen, does it sound familiar? Get you all up from among this congregation. Lift yourselves up, literally, so that I may consume them in a moment. Oh, do Moshe and Aaron do in this case. Now, all the rest of the way through here, they do as commanded. Not this time. They fell upon their faces, it says. Moshe then said to Aaron, get your fire pan. And I'm going to do it the way I think it probably happened. Get your fire pan and hurry! Put some fire in there from the altar. Lay the incense on it and move, man! Carry it quickly into the congregation. Make atonement for them. For the wrath has gone out from Yahuwah. The plague has already begun. And I'm trying to picture this scene. This has got to be literally pandemonium. The way I picture it, folks, is a group of people standing around this tent of meeting, literally. Remember that? Have you ever seen Do the Wave at a baseball stadium or the like? In this case, people are literally dropping like flies and in a wave, just literally a wave spreading out as they are going down and staying down. So Aaron took off, just as Moshe had told him to. He ran into the midst of the assembly. Behold, the plague was begun among the people. He put on the incense, he made atonement for the people, and he literally stood between the living and the dead. And the plague was stayed. Now, that word there in the Hebrew is kind of interesting. I look at this and I'm thinking, you know, what really we're talking about here is almost like cauterized. Moshe sent Aaron out and he had to run into the midst of these people and stand between the living and dead, kind of like a fire break. They that died at this point only took, who knows how long it took, couldn't have been that long. They that died by the plague were 14,700. And that was in addition to those that had already bit the big one as a result of having participated with Korah. So Aaron returned unto Moshe at the door of the tent of meeting, and the plague was stayed. Then Yahuwah speaks to Moshe, and he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel. Tell them to get some rods, one from each of their father's houses," in other words, of the 12 tribes, "all of the princes from their father's houses, 12 rods, and write every man's name upon his rod," his staff. "Oh, and let's not forget Aaron. Write Aaron's name upon the rod for the house of Levi. There'll be one rod for the head of their father's houses, and lay them up in the tent of meeting before the testimony, place where I meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man whom I choose, that is the one whose rod shall bud. And I'll put an end," is basically what he's saying, "to all this murmuring, this whining of the B'nai Israel, which they murmur against you." So Moshe spoke to the children of Israel. He was doing like he had been commanded. All the princes gave him their rods, one for each prince, according to their father's houses, 12 of them, including Aaron's among them. He laid up the rods before the in the tent of meeting before Yahuwah, and it came to pass in the morning, Moshe went into the tent of the testimony. Behold, here is the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi. Not only had it budded, it had put forth buds and bloomed blossoms and bore ripe olives. Right, we're talking about the time in the garden when things seem to grow fairly fast. But I'll tell you, that's pretty impressive. Then Yahuwah said to Moshe, "Put this rod before the testimony to be kept there. It is a token; it's a reminder against these rebellious children that there may be made an end of their murmurings against me, so that they die not." So Moshe did as Yahuwah commanded. So he did. And the children of Israel spoke to Moshe, and they said the following: "Behold, we perish, we are undone, we are all undone. Everyone comes near unto the tabernacle, the Mishkan of Yahuwah, is to die. Shall we wholly perish?" Well, one more chapter. Yahuwah then spoke to Aaron, and he said, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity," this time, "of the sanctuary. You and your sons will bear the iniquity of your priesthood. Your brethren too, tribe of Levi, tribe of your father, bring those near with you, that they can be joined with you and minister, you and your sons, before the tent of the testimony. And they shall keep thy charge, the charge of all the tent only. They shall not come nigh unto the holy furniture and unto the altar, so that they die not, not you nor they. And they'll be joined unto you and keep the charge of the tent of meeting, whosoever the service of the tent may be," whatsoever it may be. "But a common man," remember, and we've heard this before, "is not to go, not to draw nigh unto you. Keep charge of these set apart things and the altar, so that there's no more wrath upon the children of Israel. Behold," he says, "I've taken you and your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are given as a gift unto Yahuwah to do the service of the tent of meeting." Now, this is exactly what Korach and those with him failed to understand, it would seem. They were given this wonderful job, and they blew it. And we're getting a reminder. "You and your sons with you shall keep your priesthood," remember, sons of Aaron are the Kohanim, "in everything that pertains to the altar and within the veil. You shall serve. I give you this priesthood as a service of gift." But remember, commoners, common men that are not Kohanim, if they draw near, they'll be put to death. Then Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, said, "Behold, I have given you the charge of my heave offerings, all the hallowed things. This is a consecrated portion, and it's to you and your sons as a due forever. Here's what's going to be yours from the most holy things reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every meal offering, sin offering, guilt offering, those things that they render unto me, that they're most set apart, that is really for you and your sons. In other words, the offering is made to Yahuwah, and it is made through, on behalf of, the ones who will directly use it, if you will, eat it, and be blessed directly by it, are the Kohanim. In a most holy place, you are to eat thereof. Every male can eat of it. This is yours, the heave offering of their gift, the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I've given these to you and to your sons and your daughters with you as a due forever. Everyone who is clean may eat of it. Best of the oil, the best of the wine, the corn, first parts of all of these things offered up as gifts to Yahuwah, that too is yours. The first ripe fruits of all that's in the land, everything they bring to Yahuwah, that too is yours. And again, anyone that's clean in your house may eat. Everything that is cherem, devoted to him. We also see there are devoted things to pagan stuff. We're talking about the opposite of that here. That is yours. Furthermore, he says, everything that opens the womb of all flesh they offer unto Yahuwah, both of man and of beast. Howbeit, the firstborn of man you will redeem, surely, and the firstlings of the unclean beasts you shall redeem. Now, at this point, I can't help but think, remember, man, technically, right, doesn't chew the cud. Cud doesn't have a cloven hoof. We are not food. Unclean in that sense. In the sense of not being food. And the same thing goes for, you know, dogs and cats and a whole bunch of other stuff. The redemption money, people that are a month old and beyond, you shall redeem. According to the valuation, 5 shekels of silver. But the firstlings of an ox or a sheep or a goat, you are not to redeem. They are set apart. Those essentially are going to be offered unto Yahuwah. You will dash their blood against the altar, make their fat smoke for an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. The flesh of these things will be yours, though. As the wave breast and as the right thigh, it shall be yours, thine. The heave offerings of these set-apart things that are offered unto Yahuwah, that too I have given to you, your sons and your daughters. It as well is your due forever, ha'olam, everlasting covenant of salt before Yahuwah, unto you and to your seed after you. Then Yahuwah said to Aaron, you will not have, and we already knew this, but he's repeating it, any actual inheritance, not a land inheritance in the land, nor shall you have a portion among them. I, in fact, am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. As to the children of Levi, behold, I've given them all the tithe for an inheritance in return for their service, which they serve in the tent of meeting. And henceforth, the children of Israel shall not come nigh the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites alone will do this service in the Ohel of meeting, the Mishkan. And they shall bear their iniquity. This too is a statute forever throughout your generations. They will not have an inheritance among the B'nai Israel. For the tithe of the children of Israel, which they set apart as a gift unto Yahuwah, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. And I have said to them, among children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Now, at this point, we return the focus to Moshe, and Yahuwah says to him, moreover, here's what you're going to tell the Levites. Say to them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithe, which I've given you for your inheritance, you shall set apart of it a gift for Yahuwah. Literally, it's a tithe of the tithe. It's 10% of the 10%. The gift which you set apart shall be reckoned unto you, as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, or the fullness of the winepress. Thus, you too shall set apart a gift unto Yahuwah of all your tithes, the things you get out of what I have given you from the children of Israel. Give that gift, set apart to Aaron the priest. Of all that is given, you shall set apart all of that which is due unto Yahuwah, the best 10% of the 10%, the hallowed part. And therefore you shall say unto them, when you set apart the best therefrom, it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and of the winepress. And you may eat it in every place, you and your households, for it is your reward in service of the tent of meeting. And you'll be bearing no sin by reason of it, because you have set apart from it the best thereof. And you shall not profane the set apart things of the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, so that you too die not. So, interesting portion here. Again, lots of discussion about rebellion, and it goes all the way up and down the line. The sages basically say, look, if you count these things out here, you see Korach, and then Dathan and Abiram, and then you see the rest of the 250 and the children. There are at least four separate rebellions. Actually, they count them, four separate rebellions in this Torah portion. And Korach, one way or the other, had a hand in all of them. So even though we're going to find later on that some of his sons learn the lesson, survive, and do right. Matter of fact, some of the songs in the Psalms are attributed to the sons of Korah. And it's probably the sons of the sons of the sons by this time, but you get the idea.